Welcome to Hillcrest Baptist Church Podcast. Today's message is presented by Evangelist Rick Corum as he starts off our fall revival for 2017. We hope you enjoy as Rick brings a message from God's Word.
Well, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You will appreciate and love Brother Terry Williams this week. Dear friend, wonderful leader of worship, and he's going to bless your heart all week long. I'm going to say a quick word and then I'm going to preach. I thank Brother Mike always. I think I've been to Hillcrest. I'm in my 30th year on the road, and I think I've been to Hillcrest 10 times or so. But this first time in a while, 2 years in a row. And so we had booked a couple of years ago, 2 years in a row. So you blame him, okay? But Brother Mike, thank you for the opportunity to come back. What a dear friend, a dear man of God. And I'll say a quick word about tonight. I'm certainly not any kind of an authority on revival, but after hundreds and hundreds of revivals over the years, I shall never cease to be amazed how Sunday night is the single most important service. You say, well, preacher, I don't usually come back on Sunday night. Boy, you need to come tonight. If you're a young couple, student, I've got a word for you tonight. But tonight kind of sets the groundwork for the week. And I pray you'll be back tonight. I've got a special message tonight for the Hillcrest family, and I hope that you'll come. I want you to do something today. I want to kind of move in a different direction in this service than the early service. And I can't go too many months without preaching a new message about the rapture, because I just believe he's coming soon, don't you? I want you to do something for me. Take your index finger and find Hebrews chapter 11 and kind of slide your finger there or some kind of marker to Hebrews chapter 11. And then turn to Genesis chapter 5. I'll read from both Genesis 5 and both Hebrews 11 during the message. I'm preaching today on this subject, missing. Missing. Now, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? Everybody standing? I am in Genesis first, Genesis chapter 5, amazing portion of Scripture we don't look at very often. Genesis chapter 5, and I'll begin reading in verse 21. Genesis 5:21 says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now put your index finger there. I'll come back and preach from there, beginning preaching from there in a moment. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. God gives us one verse about this fellow named Enoch in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Verse 5 says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Turn back to Genesis. I'll preach from there in a moment, and I'm preaching about this fellow named Enoch. And I'm preaching on this subject, missing, missing. May God bless the reading of his inerrant book. Please be seated and pray with me. Would you do that? My Father, for your divine touch, I ask you. I can't work up or manufacture what I need right now. My God, would you loose me and let me go? God, I pray against my enemy and every devil and demon spirit. Right this moment, God, we confess out loud to any devil that can hear us, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, would you do the preaching right now? And I promise we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." I still love that story of the Sunday school teacher who was teaching her 6-year-old boys and girls one day about heaven. She asked all those boys and girls, she said, "Somebody tell me what you got to do to go to heaven." And nobody answered. They all just sat there. She looked at those boys and girls and she said, "Let me ask you a question." She said, "What if I sold my house and had a big old yard sale and garage sale and gave all the money to Jesus? Would that be enough to get me to heaven?" They all shouted no. And she said, well, what if I went to the church every day and cleaned the church and vacuumed the church and washed the windows and every week mowed the church grass? Would that be enough to get me to heaven? And they all shouted, no. And she said, well, what if I was kind to dogs and cats, loved my husband and my children with all of my heart, said I never said a bad word or did anything bad the rest of my life? Would that get me to heaven? And they all shouted, no. And then she said, well, one of you boys and girls, please tell me what I got to do to get to heaven. Little boy on the back row raised his hand and said, teacher, you got to be dead. You got to be dead to get to heaven. Now, folks, I'm going to tell y'all something. That's just not true. Do you understand that one day millions of believers will never have a funeral service or a death certificate or get their name written in an obituary column? Do you understand that soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is going to step out of the clouds and stop in the sky? He's going to bring an angel with him, and the angel's going to bring a trumpet. Jesus is going to shout loud enough to wake the dead and shake the world. That angel's going to pucker up, blow that trumpet, and I want you to know, living believers, those not in the grave, but those on top of the ground, will instantly be changed and catch a one-way, non-stop, first-class flight to meet Jesus in the air. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those who remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. If you believe that's going to happen, shout amen. Amen. And don't you dare doubt it, son. It's already happened once. Matter of fact, it happened in the first book of the Bible. Teenagers, it happened to a guy named Enoch. The Bible said that Enoch did not die. Can I tell y'all something? Can I remind you about Genesis 5? Genesis 5 has been called the obituary column of the Bible. Everybody's dying. Adam, the first man, dies in Genesis 5. All of his kinfolk die in Genesis 5. And Adam dies, everybody else dies, and God uses one phrase 7 times in Genesis 5. God says, and he died, and he died, and he died. And yet right in the middle of Genesis 5, right in the middle of the graveyards and the grieving, right in the middle of the funerals and the burials, one guy didn't die. One guy went to heaven, the Bible said, without dying. God says that in verse number 24. Look at Genesis 5, verse 24, one more time. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That word took in the Hebrew is a profound word, has several different meanings. But that word took specifically means to be caught up. It means to be carried away. The Bible said that Enoch was carried away. Y'all know what that means? That means that one morning Enoch got up. He had breakfast. He kissed his wife goodbye. He left his house and he never came home. Enoch was missing. And what happened to Enoch is going to happen to a whole generation of believers. It could be this generation. I mean, I want y'all to think about it. I want you to know one day, all over this world, believers are going to get up, start the day with breakfast, and end the day eating with the bridegroom. One of these days, millions of believers are going to get up, get in their car to go to work, and instead of going to work, they're going to fly to worship. One of these days, Christian students are going to go to the classroom to take an exam and end up in the throne room with a great I am. One of these days, some folks are going to lay down to go to sleep at night, and in bed, they're going to wake up not to the sound of an alarm, but a shout from the clouds. One of these days, folks who are going to go down the hospital bed hurting are instantly going to be healed when Jesus comes again. And instantly they are going to be missing. They're going to be missing in backwoods in big cities. They're going to be missing in ball games and business meetings. They're going to be missing in little communities and large countries. They're going to be missing in jungle huts and in Arctic wastelands and in mountain cabins and in neighborhoods and in villages. They're going to be missing on airplanes and automobiles. They're going to be missing on trains and in trucks. They're going to be missing on cruise ships and in cargo ships all over the world. At the same time, they're going to be missing. Exactly like Enoch. Enoch was missing. And I'm going to tell you 3 reasons why we're going to be missing just like Enoch was missing. Why was Enoch missing? Don't miss this now. Go and get real good. Number one, Enoch was missing because he was removed. I need to say that one more time. He was missing because he was removed. Look again at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. What a compelling statement this is, teenagers. And was not. Have I got that? He was not. See, a number of Bible translations translate that differently. Do you know one Bible translation says was not literally means was no more. One Bible translation uses the word absent. But the basic Hebrew word for was not literally means disappeared. Literally, the Bible said Enoch disappeared. Can I tell you something? He was removed. Y'all ever been removed from anything? I was raised by a Baptist preacher daddy, and I got removed in church one time. See, my daddy was a strong disciplinarian, and when I was a 7 or 8 year old boy, I had a hard time listening in church. I mean, this may surprise you, but church bored me. Don't some of y'all look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, I had, as my mama said, ants in my pants. See, in those days, we didn't know about ADD. All my parents knew was I was BAD. That's all I knew. And I couldn't sit still in church. And so I was constantly moving. Oh, I'd play all kind of games, Brother Terry, in church. Oh, yeah, man. I was constantly bored. In church, I'd make a paper airplanes out of the bulletin. Or I'd take the hymnal, turn it upside down, make a little church and go in and out. Or I'd rub my eyes and count the squigglies. You've all done this. Or I'd look up and count the ceiling tiles. I was bored. And one night, I was playing and picking at my brother. And I started passing notes, and my daddy was up there preaching. And we were on the second row, son, and right in the middle of my daddy said, Rick, sit up. And then he said a bad word, shut up, right there in church, right there in front of everybody. And he said, boy, right out loud, you're going to get it when you get home. And I knew what it was. It involved a belt and a bottom. My dad provided the belt. The bottom was mine, son. And y'all know what? When my daddy said, you're going to get it when you get home, I sat there and started crying. And when the invitation came, I came to the altar. No, I'm not kidding. Because I thought if my daddy sees me at the altar, man, then my daddy will realize I've repented. Brother Mike, it didn't happen. My daddy called on somebody dismissing prayer, and he didn't go to the door like he normally did every Sunday. He walked down and grabbed my hand and removed me to an empty Sunday school room, removed his belt, and wore out my behind. I'm going to tell you what my daddy did. My daddy removed me and judgment fell. That's what happened. Y'all know what happened to Enoch? Check this out. This is good. God removed him before judgment fell. God removed Enoch. Do y'all know what that means? He removed him. Folks, when he removed Enoch, can I tell you why God removed Enoch? Why was Enoch missing? There's a couple of reasons right here. Number one, God removed him because he was sold out to the Lord. See, the Bible says a phrase twice. In verse 22, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. Bible says again in verse 24, Enoch walked with God. Can I tell you all about Enoch? That word walked means to walk alongside of or walk directly behind. I want you to chew about Enoch for a moment. Enoch was not a Bible superstar. He's only mentioned in 5 passages in the whole Word of God. David was a man after God's own heart. Elijah was called a man of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. But Enoch said, or God said about Enoch, he just walked with God. Can I tell everybody something? You'll find no greater testimony in the Bible. He never built an ark. He never prayed down fire from heaven. He never killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He never was in a fiery furnace. He never was in the belly of a whale. He never had a donkey talk to him. None of those fantastic things ever happened to Enoch, but Enoch walked with God. And I want to lay this on you. When the day is done and the dust settles, the greatest testimony you'll ever have in your life is that you walk with God. You're a God walker. You're walking with God. Let me tell you who's going to be missing. Those folks are going to be missing. We're not talking about great preachers. We're not talking about super singers. We're not talking about talented folks. Those that are saved, that are walking with God, those are the ones going to heaven. Bible said Enoch walked with God. I don't know about you folks, but I want to walk with the one that walked on water. I want to walk with the one that was in the fiery furnace. I want to walk with the one that came out of the tomb. I want to walk with the one that walks on the devil. I want it to be said about me, I'm missing one day because I walked with God. But check this out. Enoch not only was sold out to the Lord, he was removed, and boy, you need to hear this, he was snatched out of the world. He was sold out to the Lord, but snatched out of the world. For the Bible says, don't miss it, verse 24, I'll read it for the last time. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now, son, it's fixing to get real good. Because I told you that word took means carried away. But it comes from a Hebrew word that means seized up or snatched up. Now, folks, can I remind everybody when Enoch was living? Check this out, students. Enoch lived right after the fall of man and right before the flood of the earth. That means Enoch lived in a bad day. Matter of fact, Enoch's fixing to have a boy named Methuselah that's going to have a boy named Lamech that is going to give birth to a man named Noah. Ever heard of Noah? Why, in the next chapter, Noah's the one that builds the ark. Noah's the one that put people on the ark if they were willing to go, but they weren't, because God was going to judge and destroy the earth. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, listen, Enoch walked with God in a day of permissiveness. He walked with God when morality was a joke and sex was a toy. He walked with God when man realized that God or thought God was a figment of his imagination. He walked with God when man was a center of his own universe, and yet Enoch never backed up or shut up. What a lesson. No matter how bad the day gets, we can still walk with God. And the Bible said Enoch was evacuated. Now, folks, I'm not going to lay any pre-tribulation stuff on you or biblical eschatology, but I'm going to tell everybody a storm's coming to this world one day. And I believe, hallelujah, I'm going to be removed before it comes. One of these days, Jesus is going to come snatch me out of this world before judgment falls. Hallelujah. Enoch was removed. That's why the boy was missing. Love the story of a soldier on the battlefield, blood and bombs all around him, and he was dying. Medic leaned down to him and heard him whispering something, and the fella kept saying, "Here, here, here." And the medic said, "Son, what in the world are you saying here for?" And the young man that was dying said, "They're calling the roll in heaven, and I'm just answering my name." Son, one of these days the roll's gonna be called, and I'm gonna answer my name. Well, Enoch was missing because he was removed. Now I'm gonna preach to you for a minute. Enoch was missing because he was removed. I'm going to tell everybody something else in the Old Testament. Enoch was missing because he was raptured. First, he was removed. The Bible said he was raptured. Say, it don't say that. Oh, yeah. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, I ask you to hold that. Go to Hebrews 11, look at verse 5. God mentions this old boy Enoch. First, he was removed, and then he was raptured. For the Bible says by faith, Hebrews 11, 5, Enoch was translated. Everybody say the word translated. I don't know what version of the Bible you've got. Doesn't matter the translation. Say the word translated. Say it again. Translated. That word translated, are you listening? Literally means to be carried over. Now, son, I want y'all to put all that together. Everybody got it? The Bible says in the Old Testament he was took. That means carried away or caught up. The Bible said he was translated, teenagers. That means carried over. Now, everybody think about 1 Thessalonians 4:17 a moment. For the Bible says after the coming of Jesus in the clouds, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. Son, only God could write this. When you put the word took, the words caught up, and the word translated together, what in the world does that mean? It means rapture. So we get our word rapture. When you were a teenager or a little boy, did your daddy ever say, "Boy, I'm gonna snatch you up. I'm gonna jerk you up"? How many ever been jerked up? Son, I have. Well, the Bible says one of these days God's gonna jerk me out of my skin. God's going to pull me off this planet. It's called the rapture. So in the Old Testament, Enoch was raptured. Wow. I was preaching a number of years ago in the state of Alabama. Pastor called me right before I got there and said, "Rick, it was right over the Georgia state line, just right there in eastern Alabama." He said, "Rick, Talladega's this weekend. You've heard of Talladega, the race." And he said, "All the hotels are full. So you got to stay in Atlanta tonight, Saturday night." I was flying into Atlanta, renting a car, and driving into Alabama. He said, "I want you to stay in Atlanta. Tomorrow morning, just come on over for church. We'll put you in a hotel over here tomorrow night." He said, "Now, we start at 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't even get here till 9:45. I said, "Well, okay." But of course, I got there a little earlier than that. Got up that morning, started into Alabama. Didn't pay attention to any road signs. I just knew where I was going to the church. Pulled up in the churchyard. Brother Mike, I pulled up at 9:30 in the morning. The parking lot was completely empty. And this was a little freaky now. I walked in and I saw some clothes laying in the lobby of the church. I'm not making that up. I thought church is empty, clothes in the lobby of the church. Now, folks, I know I'm saved, but I had a little bit right there in the gut, son. And all of a sudden, I turned and looked at the church sign in the parking lot. Here's what it really said. Electronic sign said, "Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready?" I thought, well, I thought so. I thought I was ready. And about that time, somebody said, "Hello." And I thought, it's the Antichrist. And I turned around, and you know who it was? It was the custodian of the church. He had been carrying some clothes to the clothes closet, and he had dropped some of them on the floor. And I said, "Where's everybody at?" He said, "Well, what do you mean? It's only 8:30. Oh, yeah, I was on Central Time, man, just like I am. I travel for a living. Can you believe that? I've got to set my clock all the time. But I was still on Eastern Time because I'd spent the night in Atlanta. I was so relieved to know that the rapture had not come, son. Now, that's a little joke, but I'm telling you, the rapture is coming. Y'all believe that? It's coming. Now, Enoch was missing because he got raptured. Hey, can I just talk about the rapture for a minute before I wrap this thing up? Just describe the rapture. I know some of you have been in church a long time. You know about the rapture, but others may not. Can I just describe this incredible event that snatched Enoch up? First of all, the rapture, when it comes to us, is going to be sudden. Sudden. For the Bible says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Hey, students, you can't outrun death, but hallelujah, you can outfly it. For the Bible says that Enoch was translated or pulled up. Oh, there's no way I can talk about the suddenness of the rapture. How can I describe it? Paul does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, Paul says folks will be missing in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And you've been in church, you know that. You've heard them say that the word moment in the Greek is where we get our English word for atom. You understand that? Now, when the Greeks wrote that, they had no idea what an atom was or splitting an atom, but we do. And so what the thought is conveyed there is this: in a moment literally means in a time that cannot be divided. In other words, we'd say it like this: in a split second. We'd say in a flash. And then he uses another word in that verse: in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, students, twinkling of an eye is the time it takes light to reflect to the eye and out. That's the speed of light. But I like the other interpretation for the twinkling of an eye: the blink of an eye. The blink of an eye. Hey, man, I've got a revival meeting in Nashville in a few weeks. It's back that old Central Time, Eastern Time thing. I was looking at my Delta app on my phone. It was really cool the other day, students. I was looking. I'm going to fly out of Jacksonville, Florida, my home at 9:33 in the morning. I'm going to land in Atlanta at 10:30. 9:33, land at 10:30. But it says my flight to Nashville is at 11:18. So it says departing for Nashville at 11:18, arriving 11:18. Well, boy, I can't wait to get on that flight, son. I just want to stand around and watch that sucker take off. Can you imagine? I mean, going to leave at 11:18. Why, that's ridiculous. It's Central Time, Eastern Time again. But can I tell everybody something? The rapture is faster than that, son. Paul says in the blink of an eye, Paul says in the twinkling of an eye, we're talking about less than a second. I want y'all to chew on that a moment, son. He's talking about the speed of the rapture. I want y'all to understand what's going to happen. You're going to be missing 1 second. You're going to be standing on this old painful earth, and in less than a second, you'll be in the presence of Jesus. What a statement. He says, 1 second, I will blast out of this diseased body. In less than 1 second, I will jet out of this decaying earth. In less than 1 second, I'll fly out of this frail world. In less than 1 second, I'll rocket to the presence of Jesus. Rapture is going to be sudden. What I'm trying to say to you is folks are going to be missing suddenly. I'm not finished. I need to preach this now before I go to my final point. The rapture is not only going to be sudden, it will be secret. Would you look at a profound statement in that fifth verse? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Listen to the statement, y'all. And was not found. Let me give you an aha moment. Let me give you an aha moment. You ready? I finally got it right. He was not found. Folks, God wouldn't put that if somebody wasn't looking for him. I need to say that one more time. God wouldn't put Enoch wasn't found unless somebody was looking for him. Enoch wasn't, you better hear this part of the sermon. Enoch was not found, friend, because somebody was looking for him. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, he begot sons and daughters. That means Enoch was a father. That means Enoch was a husband. The Bible said Enoch was not found. Mom, where's dad? He didn't come home for supper. Mom, where's dad? Well, he took a walk this afternoon, but he never came home. Mom, where's dad? I don't know. I haven't seen him. I'm getting a little worried. And Brother Mike, I know for sure they had to get out and search the streets because the Bible said he was not found. Bible said somebody was looking for this man. I'm telling you with all the conviction of my spirit, the Bible said Enoch was not found. That means somebody was looking for him and he was missing. You can't imagine the cataclysm that's going to shake the world when that happens. I was in the state of Alabama last week. And Brother Terry, the woman who was leading the worship service, wonderful woman of God, came up to me after the service because we were talking about missing children. A child comes missing in America every 40 seconds. 900,000 people a year are missing every year in America, and half of them are 18 years of age or under. And she told me about their little two-year-old boy several years ago who just somehow walked out of the front door and nobody paid attention, and they lived by a lake, and he was missing. And they found him, and of course it was horrible because they found his body and he had drowned. But she said to me with tears rolling down her face, "Yes, my little boy's gone, but at least we know where he is. Thank God we know where he is. He's in the arms of Jesus." Don't you understand what I'm preaching? Folks are going to be missing and they won't know where they are. It'll be a secret. I mean, that's what's going to happen in this world. They're going to be missing. Employees won't show up for work. Students won't show up for school. Some of you won't come home. You'll be missing a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Jesus said in Matthew 24, two will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Jesus said two will be at one workplace. One will be taken and the other left. We don't preach this anymore, but we need to be reminded this event is going to happen and people are going to be missing. They're going to disappear. They will be faceless on their Facebook page. They won't answer the doorbell. They won't pick up the phone. Leave all the messages that you want, but they're going to be missing. The Bible says this event that takes place when Enoch was missing. Don't miss this. Enoch was missing because he was removed. Enoch was missing because he was raptured, and it was sudden, and it was secret. My little boy, I told him in the first service when he was a little boy, strayed from us all the time in stores. And I remember one terrible moment. He was probably, I think, 2 years old. We were in some large department store and he came up missing. My wife stuck her head around the corner of the aisle she was on and I was looking at a shirt or something and she said, "Rick, where's Jonathan?" My two daughters were right there. I said, "I thought he was with you." She said, "I thought he was with you." And this was shortly after the abduction of Adam Walsh. Some of you may remember that. It was a taking of a child, an abduction of a child that rocked the world. They were taking kids like they are today. It was terrible. She said, "Where's Jonathan?" And I said, "I thought he was with you." And I began to walk around several aisles calling his name, but he never answered. And it became evident in about 1 minute he was nowhere near us. It was like something in my gut. I looked at the face of my wife, and she was shaking, and one of my little girls started crying. You know what I began to do? I began to run around the store like a madman. First thing I did was run to customer service and say, "Could you lock the doors or whatever you do? We've got a child missing." 1 minute turned to 2 minutes turned to 3 minutes to 4 5 5 minutes, a child's missing. I went and I looked out the window at the parking lot to see if somebody was taking my boy off. He was missing. And just that 5 minutes of grief, knowing my boy was missing. And then I looked in a clothes rack. I saw two tennis shoes sticking out from under the bottom. He wasn't even more than 5 yards from me. There he was. I pulled the clothes back and he just laughed. "Boy, do you know what you put me through? I about had a nervous breakdown. All my hair just fell out. I mean, that's what happened. I mean, right here." "Oh, shut up. It's not that funny. Right here. I'm standing right here. My boy's missing. Preacher, I grabbed him and I hugged him. I wanted to whip him, but I didn't. I just hugged him." But I remember that standing in this pulpit today, I remember those 5 minutes of grief. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody near you one day is going to be missing because they're going to a place you're not going to. There's only one way to go. You gotta know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you'll be missing as well. The presence of the Lord. The Bible said that Enoch was missing because he was removed. Don't miss this. I'm rounding third. Almost done. Enoch was missing because he was raptured. But number three, Enoch was missing because he was ready. I'm going to say that again. He was missing because he was ready. The Bible says in that fifth verse, by faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Watch this. For before his translation, he had this testimony, this reputation, this report that he pleased God, gained God's approval. I love the first line of verse 6, Brother Mike, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. My daddy went home to heaven in January. Brother Terry on the front row is a lifetime friend. He sung at my father's homegoing service. Several days before my daddy died, my mother said her last words to him. They were married for 67 years. My mother said this to daddy. She knew he was about to go, and she leaned over and whispered, "Save me a seat at the table." Now, I know what mama meant, and I'm certainly not rebuking my dear mama when she said, "Save me a seat at the table." Well, truth of the matter is, my daddy don't have to save her seat at the table. Her seat got saved the day she got saved. See, if you're saved, you got a seat at the table. You're ready. Enoch was ready. He walked with God. His testimony pleased God. It's not a works thing. He pleased God because he was saved. If God said jump, Enoch said how high. If God said give, Enoch said how much. If God said go, Enoch said how quick. If God said speak, Enoch said how loud. He was a serving saint of God. He knew that he was saved and he was taken, the Bible said. So I got to ask you this before I wrap up this sermon. Do you know? Are you ready? Are you ready? Say, yeah, I go to Hillcrest Baptist Church. That don't get you ready. I love Mike Simmons. That don't get you ready. Rick, I've been baptized in that baptistry. That don't get you ready. You understand? You can walk down an aisle and not walk with God. You can walk in a baptistry and not walk with God. You can walk on a platform and not walk with God. Are you ready right now? That's the question of the morning. Are you ready right now? The rapture is by invitation only. Those that are not saved will never hear the shout. Those that are not saved will never hear the trumpet. Those that are not saved will never be missing. But they'll be left behind for judgment. I'm in Hartsfield International Airport almost every week, it seems, in Atlanta to change planes. Was yesterday. Several years ago, I was in Hartsfield, Brother Mike, on a Thursday morning. Thursday's a busy day in Atlanta. They say it's the new Friday. And I was connecting to go back home to Jacksonville, and I'm walking down a crowded concourse. Suddenly it caught my attention, y'all. Little child sitting in the middle of the floor in the busiest airport in the world. 3,000 flights a day leave or land in Atlanta. 3,000 a day, busiest in the world. And there on that Thursday, there's a little child, y'all, right there, and the child is sitting in a puddle of chocolate milk. And the child is screaming, terrified. People are beginning to gather around the child. Horrific sight. And all of a sudden, we heard a young mother say, oh, baby. And she comes running out of the designated smoking room. She comes running out and said, oh, baby. And she whisked her up in her arm and said, I'm so sorry. Mama just had to have a cigarette. And I thought, she left her child in the busiest airport in the world because she had to have a nicotine fix? She left her child sitting right there in the busiest airport? Are you out of your mind? And as we walked away, there was an elderly woman standing right there, and I looked at her and she looked at me and she was angry. And she said, that woman's lucky her child is not missing. Missing. I'm going to be missing one day. How about you? Amen. Make sure that you're missing, friend, because you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to leave you with this statement. You may be going to heaven, you may be going to hell, but you can't stay here. I'm going to say that one more time. You may be going to heaven, you may be going to hell, but you can't stay here. Bow with me all over the building. Would you do that? I'm going to ask there be no movement, every head bowed. Our wonderful pianist that we're going to play in just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right now, right where you are, you can invite Christ to come into your life right now. I wonder if somebody would like to do that right now. Just pray this simple prayer. You're not praying to me. I'm a puny preacher. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm not walking with you. I need to be saved. I believe you died for me on the cross and rose again. So right now, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul today. If the rapture comes right now, I will be missing. I'm not going to make you do anything. Not going to guilt induce anybody. I'm not a manipulative evangelist. Nobody's looking but me. How many would just quickly say, Brother Rick, I'm glad to say I confess that. I'm glad to say I just prayed that and meant it. Slip your hand up. Anybody in this house? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm coming across the church. Anybody else? Say, Rick, I just prayed that. I'm looking over to my left. Say, Rick, I just, thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Say, Rick, I just prayed that. Thank you, big man. I see you. Anybody else? Say, Rick, I just prayed that. And about 4 or 5 lifted a hand, praise the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you to do more than lift a hand. I'm going to ask everybody to stand to their feet all over the building. Everybody stand to your feet all over the building. Brother Terry is coming, our wonderful instrumentalist are coming. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And after this prayer, I'm going to ask the music to begin to play. Men of God are coming to stand at the front. Pastor, I'm accountable before God. I confess to you 4 or 5 folks looked at me or lifted a hand rather, said I prayed that prayer. Can I tell you something? If you got saved, you want to be counted for the Lord God. Walking an aisle doesn't save you. But I want to be walking with Jesus. That means I want to be obedient to the Lord when he comes again. I want to ask if you've been baptized. I want to ask if you're serving the Lord. I'm going to pray, and when I finish, if you prayed that simple prayer, come tell one of our men. Say, Rick, I can't do that. I got good news. You can now do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But I want to appeal to the church. In the early service, I invited folks to come to the altar and pray. It's the only service I'm going to invite you to do that. There's something about kneeling before God at that first service at a church, asking God to send revival. So I'm going to do two things for Christians all over the building. Well, actually three. I'm going to invite believers to come and pray for revival. I'm going to invite believers to come and pray for the lost. So many lost folks, because if you've heard a sermon called Missing, it ought to compel you to want to tell somebody about Jesus. And number three, if you're a believer and you're saved but you're not walking with God, you'd be ashamed for what the Lord would find in your life if he came right now. Boy, you want to come to the altar. That's the invitation. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite those who might have prayed that simple prayer and meant it to come tell one of our men. I'm going to invite somebody to come join this church. What a great day to join the church. Obedience brings revival. But all over the house, I'm going to invite believers to join me at the altar and seek the Lord. Father, God, we could all be missing before I finish the next sentence of this prayer. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those folks who said, Rick, I prayed that prayer. I pray all hell couldn't stop them from taking a stand for Christ. If not today, someday soon. God, I pray for those who need to come and join this church and unite with this fellowship. God, I pray for my fellow brothers and sisters all over the building that just want to seek your face at this altar. God, we're coming to pray for revival. And I pray you'd move right now. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you once again for joining us. Check back with us next week to hear another sermon, or join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or 10 a.m. to hear a live message. Have a great day.